Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. Thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message, and we'll continue next week on the power that we have in the name of Jesus. A simple message, and I share a lot of scripture. Why? Because my thoughts, my opinions really don't amount to a hill of beans. It's what the Lord has to say as revealed in the Word of God. And unfortunately, and I probably don't have to inform you of this, that Jesus as well as His church is under attack today by unbelievers. And unfortunately, it's not just the unsaved, but many who claim salvation, many in the church actually don't see Jesus as the only begotten of the Father, the seed of God birthed by the Holy Ghost from the Virgin Mary, who was crucified and resurrected. You may not have that experience, I hope you haven't, but there are those who deny the deity of Christ. And because of this, is it any wonder they don't believe in miracles or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit or the gifts operating in the church as they did in the time of the early church and the apostles? Well, it wasn't just for that time. No, the power that He gave to us, the things that He told His apostles to do were examples for us that we should never just sort of sit down and expect, well, it's just, there's teachers and there's evangelists, but to deny the fivefold ministry is robbing the church of its authority, anointing, and power. And when we look at the nations of the world, when we look at our own nation, we see that it's in the condition it is because the people have turned their back on God. And the church, to a great extent, has let humanism usurp the gospel and ran cringing in fear from the assault of Satan. It has been a very coordinated, well-thought-out plan that has been accomplished through the decades. And I won't go any further because we want to talk about what God is doing. We know we can see what the enemy has done and how he has succeeded. But to say that Jesus, was just a good man is an insult to God. To say that Jesus was just a prophet or just a very wise man is to do violence against the very plan of God and the Word of God. Jesus said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full," may be made full. And in Acts, the 16th chapter, verse 18, the Apostle Paul casts a demon out of a possessed woman in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a scriptural example. Colossians 3:17 teaches us that we are to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Think about that. If you would start your morning and say that, "Lord, whatever I do today, I ask that I would be conscious and aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit with me, that I would do nothing that would be displeasing to you, that you would give me direction and wisdom in the things that I need to attend to today." If we would be so aware that the Lord is with us, He's in us, He's given us His Word. All that we think, all that we utter, we communicate in every deed. That's an act. That's our doing, our labor, our work, word and deed, to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:14 states that we henceforth be no more children. The Lord has put up with much immaturity in His church, And of course, parents with natural children, up to a point, you can understand that, you know, they're just a baby, they're just a toddler, they're just a child, or a preteen. There's much they don't know. They need to be taught properly. But that word says that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. That's his desire for us, that we may grow up into him. That's how we do it. Speaking the truth in love. It's not just, you can hammer people with scripture, but we must have not just the word of God, but the character of Christ, the love, the joy, the gentleness, the faith, the long-suffering, the patience, all these, which the fruit of the Spirit, which are the characteristics of Christ. We may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit has a formidable job. I love the Holy Spirit. He's so wonderful. He gives joy. He's a lot of fun. When you ask him to partner with you, he'll show you things you never thought of. Simple things, simple ways of doing household tasks, ladies, or on the job. Men, he'll give you real inspiration. He'll show you some things you never thought of before. You just have to ask him. And I challenge you in this broadcast to do that. But also Ephesians 5:20 tells us we are always to give thanks unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so much better to do that. You know what happened when the Israelites, you know, under the old covenant, they murmured and complained. When they did that, at one point, fiery serpents started to bite them and they died. That's why Moses had to erect that bronze serpent on a pole, which is a sign of the medical profession today. Beloved, it's not a good thing to murmur and complain. Although, I do remember, I think I preached a message once, it's okay to complain as Jeremiah did, but you make your complaint known to God. And with that prayer, hallelujah. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:11, ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. These are, if you walk with God, these are very familiar passages. We don't realize how often that phrase was used, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're washed, we're sanctified, we're justified, we're blessed. Hebrews, I've got more. Hebrews 13 and 15, by him, who, Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. A few more scriptures. How about James 5:14? I won't take the time to turn and read it, but that passage teaches us that we are to anoint the sick in the name of Jesus. What do you say? Is any sick among you? You know, any merry? Let him sing a song. Any sick? Call for the elders of the church. And in 1 John 3:23, the Word of God tells us, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, do we believe in Jesus? Of course we do. Do you believe on the name of his Son? In other words, these familiar passages, do you believe the power and authority that you have been given to pray in the name of his Son? Yes, you believe in Jesus. Let me read that again, 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, what that represents, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Beloved, if you have read or studied much of early church history, the name of Jesus was an integral part of the early church life. It filled a place in their thoughts, in their prayers, in their ministering, as well as their preaching. We have a legal standing before the Father in Christ, and in his name, not in our name, not in our efforts, not in our thoughts or opinions, but in the name of Jesus. That's why we must reverence that name. Why? That's why it was such a serious thing in the Ten Commandments. You know, it was a sin to take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Why? Because that name represents the power, that authority, that we have in Christ to use that name, a divine power of attorney, if you will, to represent him here on earth. And when we pray in Jesus' name, it is as though Jesus himself is praying. Hallelujah. The reason he gave us the authority to use his name is so, there's a purpose, not to give us a formula to pray, but that we can carry out his will on earth. Individually, brother and sister, as you're listening to me, if you've accepted Jesus, as well as collectively as the body of Christ, when you gather together in your Bible studies, in your prayer groups, in church, you are representing him when you pray in his name. When Jesus told his disciples, "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you." You know what? They didn't sit around arguing about it. They didn't form a committee to analyze it, to have, you know, the theological scholars of their day analyze it, but they did act on his words. Do you remember the trouble Jesus had with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious experts of his day? Jesus, God incarnate, was in their presence and they didn't get it. They were the ones that persecuted him. It was the simple people. It was the fishermen. It was the harlots. It was the tax collectors that listened to the words of Jesus. And, you know, it's the same today. Those who are, you know, those that are wise in their own eyes, she confounds, you know, that's how I started this message. Beloved, there's more to share, but I pray that you've been excited and stirred and revitalized in your prayer life, that you will have greater appreciation, revelation, and understanding as you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. I thank you for joining me, and I invite you to tune in next week as we continue on and to learn of our inheritance, the amazing, wonderful rights, privileges, and responsibilities we've been given in his name. I love you. The announcer is going to share our contact information. If you email, I will confirm receipt and pray, but I invite you to write and share your mailing address if you do that by email. I love you, and until next week, this is Sister Klaus saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.